Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today for Faith and Family. Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this beautiful Friday, October 11th. Great day. We are wrapping up a great week, but not the end of the discussion. Today, we are continuing our discussion on choices in education. And all week long, we've been talking about homeschool as a choice for education. And we've been talking with parents and educators. But now it's time to get the student perspective. And we're going to do that here in just a minute. We have a great student panel lined up, and we'll introduce them in just a minute. And looking forward to talking with them about homeschool from their perspective as students. If you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. Our phone number in St. Louis is 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send an email. Email us your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, then go to the sponsor section, look for the CUW logo, click on that, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs that CUW has to offer. Well, it is time to introduce our panel. We have folks in the studio. We have folks on the phone. It's a good day, and it's a big crowd for us, for Faith and Family here in the studio. So joining us in the studio, we're going to go around the room, and we'll go from, let's go from youngest to oldest, because our oldest is actually on the phone today. So starting with you, sir.
Hey, I'm Michael Grimmenstein. Good to be here on KFUO. I am age 11 and grade 6.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Hi, I'm Anna Grimmenstein. I'm 13 years old, and I'm in 8th grade.
Welcome, Anna.
Hi, I'm Lydia Grimmenstein. I'm 15, and I'm in 11th grade.
So we have the Grimmenstein family here in the studio, and joining us by phone is...
My name is Rachel Wood, and I am 23 years old, and I am a senior at University of Missouri St. Louis.
Well, welcome, Rachel. Thanks for joining us by phone. We know that you have a busy schedule these days, as do the Grimmensteins here in studio, and thanks for giving up your lunch break to spend some time with us today to talk about your experience as a homeschool student. We really appreciate that.
You are welcome. Glad to be here.
So let's see. I've got tons of questions, and I know our listeners may have questions, and so they may join us. They might call in or email questions today, but I have tons of questions. So the first question I have, you've introduced yourselves. Michael, what is your favorite area of study? What do you like to study the most?
Well, my favorite area of study would be science.
Science? What do you like about science?
Well, I like how it teaches all of the... physics and the magnetism and mathematics.
And you're in grade 6, is that correct?
Grade 6, yes.
And you like physics. That's impressive. Anna?
I think my favorite area of study is history. I'm very good at diagramming outlines, and I love making reports because I'm very good at telling stories.
You like to talk, don't you?
Yes,
I do. Lydia?
Well, just like Anna, my favorite area is history. I also, like Anna, like making an outline, and then from that outline, transporting that into a report. It's very gratifying.
And Rachel, what area do you like to study? And I'm guessing it might be your major area of study in college as well.
I am a communication major with an emphasis in PR. And I decided to do that because I really like the creative side of that, and pulling in all the different communication mediums to integrate them into one campaign to promote a cause or a company. I really like that.
Excellent. And so let's now take a look at all of you have been in homeschool. Well, Rachel, were you in homeschool from throughout your entire education up until college?
Yes. Yes. I started homeschooling in, I guess, preschool. Never went to a different kind of school at all. I dual enrolled for my last 2 years of college, or my last 2 years of high school, sorry, and then went to community college and then college. So yeah, I was homeschooled up through high school.
And Grimmensteins, everybody's been in homeschool along. Anybody go to other schools too?
I was, for the first half of first grade, enrolled in a public school, but then I was pulled out.
Okay.
And then I started homeschooling.
Okay, so you had a little bit of an experience in homeschool.
Yes.
Because that leads to my next question. And we'll start with you, Anna. What do you think might be the difference between homeschool and another type of school that maybe your peers would attend? What do you think are the differences?
They don't study classical studies like we do. They don't do religion, and they don't do any old languages like Latin or Greek.
Okay. So some of the schools, like, for example, if your friends or classmates or peers might attend a public school, they might not attend, study religion or theology, the scriptures, and certainly not the languages in a typical school. Now, there are some schools that do study those things, and we're going to talk with one of those on Monday, actually, a classical Lutheran school that studies theology, the scriptures, and from a classical approach. Michael, what do you think might be the differences between you and your peers in another school setting?
Well, I think the difference, like Anna said, it doesn't teach many classical things such as grammar or religion. Okay. Unless it's a Christian school, of course, then it would teach religion. It also teaches, doesn't teach any deceased languages such as Latin or Greek.
You guys love Latin, huh?
Yes, we
yes.
love
Yes.
Lydia?
Well, public schools do not also teach logic, which is also one of my favorite subjects.
Is probably what you're getting into, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's one of your favorites?
It is, actually.
Good. Good. What do you like about logic?
It really teaches you to think critically inside the classroom and also outside. Just, yeah.
Okay. Rachel, did in your homeschool experience, was it more a traditional or a classical education? How would you describe your homeschool experience, and how did that compare to your peers?
It was definitely more classical, for sure. I took a literature-based history course when I was younger, and of course my whole curriculum really was literature-based. I did Sunlight. I don't know if anyone else is familiar with that, but it is very much literature-based. Story-based curriculum, you learn through stories about history. And then in high school, I did the Giles Kirk program, which is taught by George Grant out of Franklin Classical School, and that was also a humanities course instead of a traditional history course. And so I would talk to my friends who were in public school or private school, and I would say something like, "Hey, did you know that George Washington wasn't the first president?" And they'd be like, "No, I didn't know that." So it was much more in-depth and a lot more reasons why things were happening instead of just that they happened. It wasn't just dates and dead people, at least for history. Mm-hmm. That's what I noticed.
So it sounds like you spent a lot of time reading. And how much, in the studio here, do you spend a lot of time reading? Do you think that that's a large portion of your studies?
Well,
go ahead, Rachel.
Definitely in high school, not as much in college, but in high school and elementary and middle school, yes.
Anna?
Well, we're assigned classical books like Tom Sawyer and Black Beauty, the books that no one reads for fun anymore. And we usually read one every week.
So. You read a book a week?
Yeah, usually.
Wow. Michael, what do you like to read?
Well, we do have school books, like Anna said, that we have to read every single week. But Mom does let us have pleasure books that we can read after we finished our curriculum for the day.
Lydia, do you spend a lot of time reading?
Not as much as Anna, I'm afraid. I do have to read classical books like Dante's Inferno and the Divine Comedy for school, where I would take notes out of that book. But then when I'm done, I'm free to read pleasure books, which we are huge fans of the Percy Jackson series. So, and Harry Potter.
I'm curious. I'm curious what a typical day in homeschool is like. Let's start with Rachel. What was a typical day like for you? And then I want to hear from the Grimmenstein family as well.
Wow, that's a throwback.
I know, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a little bit. I would get up about maybe 8:30. And I would be started with school about maybe half an hour, 45 minutes later. We would have breakfast as a family and then do our studies. And it was basically, you would have what you needed to get done for that day laid out, and when you finished, you were done for the day, whether that be at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, or you know, if you wanted to take a break in the middle of the day, 5 o'clock. So it was very flexible, and my father sometimes worked in the mornings and sometimes worked in the evenings. So we were able to switch our schedule around. If he worked in the mornings, we'd be school in the morning and be with him in the afternoon. So after school, we would usually go outside and play soccer or baseball. And at night, we would gather the family around the dinner table. And after dinner, Dad would read to us. And it was usually one of the readers that we had for school, so we would do that as a family. And that was a typical day.
So. Great. Lydia, a typical day at the Grimmenstein School.
Well, our wake-up times are slightly different. Anna kind of wakes up at 5:30 in the morning. I have no idea how she does that.
You could come in and do the morning show with me, Anna.
My wake-up time is more between 7:00 and 7:30, and then I start school strictly at 8:00. And then Mom would make lesson plans for us, which mm-hmm. was a list of what we had to get done for that day. And then whenever we were done with it, we were done. Mm-hmm. And then usually at night would be extracurricular activities, like for us girls would be ballet. Michael would be either taekwondo or swimming. And then I would usually go to bed at 9:00.
Now, Anna, if you're up at 5:00, what time does Mom get up?
I think she usually gets up around 30 minutes after I do to feed the little ones.
So she stays pretty busy, too. Yeah. I bet you guys keep her busy, don't you?
Yeah.
You're all chuckling. And a typical day for you, Anna? You start at 5:30?
Yep. I eat breakfast at around 6:00. I make my bed, get dressed. I start school at around 8:00. And if I don't finish all my curricular activities in the morning, I spread them out during the afternoon. And then I go up to my room and I practice on my cello.
Wow. Michael, typical day for you, sir?
Well, typical day for me is, well, it varies. I sometimes get up at 6:30, sometimes get up at 8:30. But after I do that, we eat our breakfast, of course. And then we have to go upstairs, make our bed, brush our teeth, comb our hair. And then we come downstairs and do all of our curricular activities. And then we have, after that's all done, we go and practice on our instruments. And we go to bed at 8:30.
Wow, that's a pretty full day. So you guys stay pretty busy. Now, that brings me to, you mentioned you practice instruments. You obviously do a lot of studying, a lot of reading throughout the day. And Lydia, you mentioned ballet, taekwondo. What? So obviously you're involved in other things outside of your studies, your what you might call academic studies, I guess. What are some of the things that you enjoy doing? Michael, instruments? You said you practice your instruments?
Well, I play the violin and the piano.
At the same time?
Yes, at the same time. Well, not exactly at the same time, but...
That would be pretty impressive. So the violin and the piano and any other activities outside of the music and the arts or sports or anything like that?
Well, I do have a swim team at the YMCA in Wildwood. That's very fun. And I also go to taekwondo in Fenton, which in case no one knows what taekwondo is, it's a martial arts that originated from Korea. And that's very fun, too.
What's your favorite out of all the activities that you do? I know you like science in your studies and out of your activities, arts and sciences and things like that. What's your favorite activity out of the whole day?
Oh, goodness. I'd like to say swimming.
Swimming?
Swimming, definitely.
Great. Anna, what activities that you're involved in?
I told you I play cello, but I also take ballet and point. And let's see, I started private riding lessons in June, which I've really been enjoying. And like, I do swim team in the summer, but I don't participate in Michael's swim team.
Cool. Lydia?
Well, I'm a strict ballerina. I've been dancing ever since I was 7 and cannot think of anything else to do all day long. It's just stuck in my brain. But I also play violin and piano like Michael. I can also pick up Anna's cello from time to time and kind of twiddle around on that. But
And Rachel, throughout homeschool, what were your activities? I know you mentioned soccer.
Yes. Unfortunately, I didn't really play any instruments, which I really regret now. But I was a big sports girl. So I played soccer competitively, I think probably 8 or 9 years out of the 12. And then I did Friday homeschool soccer every Friday for most of that time.
Now, you, You mentioned homeschool soccer. Was there a specific group or a league just for homeschool groups?
Yes, there's actually many now. We were just starting out with our soccer leagues when I was in high school, but there are basketball teams for both boys and girls for high school and middle school. There is a soccer team for both high school boys and girls. I think there's a junior varsity league as well now. I played for the Patriots, which was the high school varsity girls team. And that was just in high school. And before that, I played for Twin Oaks. They allowed me to play on their team, even though I was not attending their school. So that was very gracious of them.
And I know you have siblings as well that were homeschooled. I guess, is the youngest still in homeschool, or is she?
She is.
Oriana is still in homeschool?
Oriana is 17, and Oriana is homeschooling and attending the community college in Wildwood, although I think most of her studies are through St. Louis Community College now. And then Katrina, she is 13, and mom is currently homeschooling her as well.
So in both families, it seems like it's a huge family affair. Everybody's involved. And so you probably get to spend more time with your family. Do you all agree? Rachel, do you get to spend more time with your family?
Yes, definitely.
Now, I'm curious your perspectives on that. You know, your peers who attend other schools, day schools, whether it be a Christian school or a public school, they may not necessarily have as much time with their families. What are your thoughts on having so much time with your family? Good thing, bad thing, advantages, disadvantages? What do you think, Michael?
Well, I think it's a good thing to be around your parents because it kind of bonds you with your parents and you get to know them a little better if you don't know them. So,
And Anna, what do you think?
I think it's a good thing that your parents are around because especially if you're having trouble with something like algebra, your mother or father is always there to help you out with that. And I think it's good to know your siblings a little better and to be around them every day.
Siblings, yes. Lydia?
I definitely think it brings you closer to your parents if you're around them. Of course, my dad works, so I don't see him until night. But even just with my mom, I've become really good friends with her over the years.
Rachel, your thoughts. Now that you're an adult and having gone through all those years of homeschool, how did that time together as a family impact you?
I did not realize how valuable it was until I got to college. And I realized that, you know, people were telling me, oh, you're so mature. And I've realized that being around my parents so much and with my family really accelerated maturity in some areas. You know, not in others, but in some areas. I find that I miss it now. I really miss that camaraderie that I had with my sisters and my mom and dad. We spent so much time as a family, you know, throughout the day, and then we went on runs with my dad at night when he got home. And it's a good thing that I miss it now, and I miss being able to speak to them and them knowing what's going on in my life.
Do you think that that will impact how if you have a family in the future? Do you think the time that you have had with your family as a homeschool student, having that advantage of having more time together with a family, that will impact how you approach family life in the future, that's going to shape how you raise your family?
Oh, definitely. Yes. My kids will be read to every evening. That's my hope, that they'll be able to sit down as a family and we'll have a reading time. I really enjoyed that as a kid, and I still look back on it with fond memories. I will strive to do things with my kids and my husband as, you know, a family unit, not just going off and doing things. And, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, Mom, why can't I go do things with my friends on Friday night? It's family night.
Do you guys ever think that Michael, Anna, Lydia, do you ever think, oh, why can't I go do things with my friends instead of spending time with my family?
No.
No?
No, not really. Yeah,
they're better than me.
I think we all at some point in life probably may ask that question or may think that we want to do something with our peers and may be challenged. But like Rachel pointed out, that sometimes we may not realize what a blessing it is to have so much time with family. Lydia, what do you think? Down the road, what the experience that you've had as a homeschool student, do you think that will shape your future family?
I think so. My life certainly has set an example, especially my mom. She set a huge example for me. And I hope to really follow in her footsteps one day when I have my own family.
Great. Anna?
If I ever have kids, I'll definitely teach them homeschool. I'll teach them all the classical things they should know. And... yeah.
Michael, it's a long way down the road, but what do you think? If you have a family in the future, how do you think what you've learned as a homeschool student might, and what you've experienced, how that might impact future family?
Well, I think when I get older and I have kids, I will put them on the exact same curriculum that I was put on because it was an excellent curriculum. I learned so much from it.
Good. Friends, where do you meet do you have friends? Obviously, you're friends with your family, as you said. Lydia, you said your mom is a good friend. You've gotten very close to her through your experience at home. Do you have friends outside of home?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where do you meet friends? Where do you make friends?
Through extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm. Through ballet?
Yes, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anna?
We made some friends at swim team. Michael has some friends at swim team. Lydia and I both have some friends that we both know very well. And my cello teacher is a very good friend to me. We love to talk together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And our ballet teacher has become a good friend to us as well.
Great. Michael, friends?
Well, yes, I have some friends. And I mostly meet them at swim team.
Uh-huh.
My swim team, I make a lot of friends there. And I'm also friends with my violin teacher and my piano teacher. They're very close to me. And
Rachel, how about along the way, where did you make friends?
Majorly at church and extracurricular activities. Soccer friends, both in the Patriots and Friday homeschool soccer. Although Friday homeschool soccer was one of the main places that I made friends. I hung out with those kids throughout high school and even into college. Still have those friends. And then, of course, church. So there's a lot of opportunities, extracurricular activities that you can make friends through there or through church. You're not living in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think that's the question that some people have who haven't experienced homeschool is, if you're in a homeschool setting all the time and you're always with your family, mm-hmm. how do you make friends? And I think you all have pointed out that there are plenty of opportunities through the extracurricular activities and through your congregation, through your church. And that's a great place to build friends and to connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about family time and time with, getting to know friends and opportunities to meet friends. We need to take a break in about a minute. But I want you to think about, for those of you here in the studio, think about how your studies have prepared you for college, if you're thinking about college, or what you're thinking about, what are your future plans afterward? And Rachel, I'm curious how your homeschool education prepared you for college. I know you mentioned that your last 2 years of high school, you were actually able to dual enroll as a college student. And so that gave you, I think, probably a little bit of a leap into college, a little bit of a head start. What you studied in homeschool, how did that make a difference in preparing you for college? So we'll give that some thought over the break here and in just a little bit. And then when we come back, we'll hear from everybody about what you think college life might be like. Are you all thinking college in here or thinking other plans?
Yes.
College.
Yes. College. Everybody's thinking college. All right. Well, stick around for more Faith and Family. We're going to talk more with our panel with Lydia, Anna, Michael, and Rachel right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-abortion activists claim legal abortion is safe for women. Of course, it kills the baby. In the wake of the Planned Parenthood video, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley stopped all activities at two of the state's three abortion mills. They found scores of violations, with most at Planned Parenthood, and issued thousands of dollars in fines. All three of the abortion mills have violated state laws or regulations. These include tossing the baby's bodies into the local landfill. The state attorney general's office is working with the governor to see if the scores of violations include criminal activity. Planned Parenthood whined it was a political witch hunt, preventing women from receiving, get this, high-quality care. Quality isn't a word we could use here. Back alley butchery, perhaps.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
In 2017, the Lutheran Reformation's 500th anniversary will finally be here. And coming this October, your one-stop shop for this once-in-a-lifetime celebration will be LutheranReformation.org. This website will be your source for videos, educational resources, activities for children, and many more ways you can celebrate the Reformation's 500th anniversary. Reformation 2017. It's still all about Jesus. Go to LutheranReformation.org today.
The psalmist once wrote, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. It's always good to be reminded where to go to get the help that you're looking for today. I'll help you keep that memory fresh as you join me for Jubilation, coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. We're known as the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at kfuo.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
KFUO, the messenger of good news. Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." KFUO, the message is clear.
Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are continuing our discussion on choices in education, focusing this week on homeschool, home education. And today we have our astute panel of students discussing their experiences as homeschool students. And if you'd like to join the conversation today too, if you have a question for our panel or a thought about homeschool that you'd like to share today, you can do so. The phone number here in St. Louis is 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, it's 1-800-730-2727, or you can send an email to family@kfuo.org. Now, before we went to break, we were talking about future plans. And Rachel, I know that you are now a communications major with an emphasis on public relations. And you mentioned what led up to that, that you just have an interest and in a desire to serve in those areas. Mm-hmm. How did your homeschool education prepare you for college and your future vocation?
Through a number of ways. Not sure how to make this as brief as it needs to be, but we'll try.
That's okay. We got a little bit of time.
Okay. Well, when in the last 2 years of my high school time, my junior and senior year, I dual enrolled at the community college, and something that I noticed was that my writing skills were a lot higher than some of my peers. And a lot of my teachers commented on how my critical thinking was very good. and then attention to details. And this was across the board. Like, all my teachers said, you know, your writing is very good. And I had never really noticed. No one had ever told me, oh, you know, Rachel, you're a good writer, besides my mother. And, of course, she's supposed to say that. She's my mother.
But she's also your teacher.
Exactly, yeah. So I assume that's fair. But so writing, I think I took about 8 credits worth of writing or creative writing in high school. And so that prepared me for college in a way that I don't think anything else did. And then just my parents' influence, because I spent a lot of time with my parents and because I respected their opinion, I listened to what my father said, and he said, you know, work hard. This is how you do things. You have a good work ethic. And I applied that in the classroom, and it worked out. So a lot of things, but I think the biggest 3 things that I took from the homeschool education to the classroom at the community college and into the university: writing skills, critical thinking, and attention to detail. I suppose work ethic as well, and those translated very well into the college arena.
Critical thinking is, it's not necessarily just a subject that you teach in school. It's not something that, you know, you can just sit down and take a class on critical thinking necessarily. Lydia, you're kind of smiling. Critical thinking, where does that fit into your studies, Lydia?
Logic, definitely.
Logic? Now, logic is something that's part of the curriculum when you're an older student, correct? It's
yes,
not something
it
you
is.
Start in, like, kindergarten.
No, I don't think kindergartners could really understand the fundamentals behind this subject.
From your perspective, just a little bit of a definition of what you explained the logic a little bit earlier, but for our listeners that aren't familiar with classical education, what would be a typical lesson in logic?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because my logic right now, I used to study traditional logic, but now I'm into material logic, which is a little bit more difficult than traditional. Logic is an art. It's put in its most simple form, the art of reason.
So would you be reading to study logic? How do you go about studying logic?
Well, what you really do is we mostly take maybe a simple English sentence, and then we would diagram it and then look at it more carefully. Look at each word, like, this is the subject, this is the verb. And then we would really ask, what is it? Just in its most simple setting. What is this word? What is the meaning?
Okay. So getting at the meaning of what we're communicating in written communication. Okay. So critical thinking really comes down to a lot of things, like Rachel, like you were saying, communication, in communication, critical thinking plays a huge role. So would you say that your experience as a homeschool student and having the opportunity to study from a classical education perspective, that really kind of is what steered you toward a communications field?
I think it helped. I'm not sure that it geared me towards it as much as just it very much supported what I was trying to do, and I was already good at it. So it helped, definitely. I think the creative side of communication is really what drew me towards the subject. I like creative writing. I like big ideas. You're aware of my legacy at St. Louis Community College, Wildwood. You know, I was in SGA and Phi Theta Kappa, and I had an opportunity to utilize event planning, even some campaignings on a small scale. So logic did help with all those things, especially in paper writing, you know, academic writing. But I think that what actually drew me towards communication was my love of writing and the creativity that came with it.
What's on the horizon for you as a college student? I know that you're studying at University of Missouri, St. Louis, and you're majoring in communication with an emphasis in PR. Any exciting plans on the horizon?
Yes, actually. I am going to Costa Rica in between semesters, so I'll be going in January. I'm minoring in business and Spanish, so I will be studying Spanish in Costa Rica for about a month, about 2 to 3 weeks.
So that's kind of the opposite of homeschool. That's away school, isn't it?
I know. But homeschool really did help me, you know, to be ready for that, just with the independence and just thinking for yourself and learning how to teach yourself. You know, that's a big deal in the classroom, even in college setting. So that helped. And then I'm also looking into possibly, it's not set in stone yet, studying in Barcelona in the spring semester, and that will be my last semester. So, you know, fingers crossed, God willing, I will get up the funding to go to Barcelona for about 5 months.
Last semester in Barcelona. Now that could be fun.
It would definitely be fun. I'm hoping it happens.
Now, some of you are grinning in here in studio, thinking about study abroad. Is that something that interests you? Does that interest you, Anna?
I don't know. We lived in Belgium for about a year, so the thought of going overseas again is not something that really gets me all hyper. I'm just excited about the idea of going overseas for 4 years to study at college.
Okay. Lydia, studying abroad?
Yes, it would kind of be neat to have a foreign influence in my education, especially with ballet. I'm actually looking to go overseas for a summer intensive at the Hamburg Ballet, which is in Germany. Wow. So, yeah.
Michael, any interest in studying abroad?
Well, not really, no.
No? Okay, so we know Rachel's future plans. And you all have expressed interest in college down the road. Any ideas what you might like to study or maybe future vocations? Nodding your heads, yes, maybe. Lydia?
Well, I definitely want to open my own ballet studio someday. I actually have a title for it. It's Just Ballet Dance Studio. I want to go to college and study dance education. And I also want to double major in music education, possibly. It's a big question mark after that.
Okay. I'm sure there is a lot that goes into running a studio. Have you talked with the folks at the studio where you study now?
I actually study at Dance Incorporated in Ellisville. I have a really excellent ballet teacher, Miss Carrie Ann Davis, who teaches at Lindenwood University, and she's just phenomenal. I love her.
And have you talked with them about what a career like that would be? What it entails?
Not really.
Not yet. So studying ballet is in your future. That's what you're planning. Excellent. Anna.
I've always loved animals. And last year in December, my father took Michael and I to a dissection class. And I knew instantly that this is what I wanted to do, to be a veterinarian.
So you loved the dissection class.
Yes. No qualms about it at all. Actually enjoyed doing it with Michael as my dissection partner.
Oh,
we had plenty of fun.
It sounds like you had fun. Maybe Michael didn't.
Yes.
Oh, I had fun.
Oh, you had fun too. Mm-hmm. So Anna, you're thinking veterinarian down the road.
Yes.
And have you looked at the education that requires to become a veterinarian?
A little. I think biology is involved in there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of biology and anatomy and physiology.
Yes.
Have you thought about the amount of time that it takes to get through that education?
No, not yet.
It's a lot of college, but it's certainly, if it's something that you enjoy, it can be a great vocation, I'm sure.
Yeah, I actually don't mind going to extra school.
Something tells me you're pretty honest when you say that you like studying.
Yes.
Michael, what do you think? That's a long way down the road. What are you thinking in terms of after homeschool, maybe college, future vocation?
Well, I am leaning towards a marine biological job as a marine biologist. And the homeschool really helped me because in my science, they talk about the biology and oceans and stuff like that.
Why marine biology? What is it that you like about marine biology?
Well, since I was little, I've always liked fish a lot. Fish. And when I got older, I started getting books about fish, and it showed other animals and sea life, and I thought it was kind of cool. So, and when I found out that there was a job to actually study these animals, and so I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll study marine biology. Sounds like a pretty good job.
So you're probably going to have to move somewhere else to study. You can study marine biology here in the Midwest, but probably to get a little more hands-on experience, you're probably going to have to move somewhere else. Do you have a place in mind where you really want to go?
Well, I would like to go to Hawaii because that has a lot of coral reefs, and that is where the most sea life is.
Mom and Dad, are you listening? Hawaii is on the horizon there for Michael. Excellent, excellent. Now, you all have expressed many of the things that you like about your homeschool experience and your future plans. Is there anything about homeschool that, if you could change it, about that you would change, or anything that you would do differently? Is there anything that you would look at and do differently about homeschool? We'll start with Rachel, and then...
Yeah. I have one right off the bat. I would take an instrument. I would learn an instrument, definitely. That's something that I regret not doing when I was in school. My sister plays the piano and the cello.
And quite well.
Yeah, she does. And she's very good at the piano. And I am always jealous when I go through the room and I hear her playing. But I took choir, which I really enjoyed, but I did not learn an instrument. So that's one thing that I would do.
Okay. So something that you didn't study that you wish you would have studied, particularly a musical instrument. Lydia, mm-hmm. Is there anything different that you would, if you could change something about homeschool, is there anything that you would change?
Well, I'm still pretty early in my education to really not be able to look back and mm-hmm. regret anything that I didn't really do. But as far as changes, I would not change anything. My mom has done a great job organizing our school days for us.
Great. Anna?
Not really. I thought a couple times about taking ancient Greek, but I think Latin pretty much covers the ancient language
thing. You should go for Koine Greek. Dad could teach you Koine Greek.
Maybe, yeah.
Michael, anything that you would do differently or anything about homeschool that you would change?
Nope.
Nope.
My mom has done an excellent job teaching us, and I like it a lot. There's nothing I would change.
If given the opportunity to study in a different setting, maybe it's just for a season. If you were given the opportunity to go to maybe a Christian day school or a public school, would you want that opportunity? Would you want that opportunity? Anna?
No. I think it'd be a lot easier doing homeschool, and I've never thought the idea of public school is as appealing as working in a calm, quiet homeschool setting where you can concentrate very well.
By easier, you don't mean that the material would, the studies would be easier, the content, I'm gathering, because you're studying Latin and languages and so I'm guessing you don't mean the content. You're talking about the environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Lydia.
Well, I always thought it would be kind of cool to go even for 3 months to a foreign school, maybe in Germany. My mom and dad actually have friends who live in Germany, and they've invited me several times to come over to their house. And they're both teachers at the same high school. So I thought, whoa, I could probably just go over and take school. But as far as over here goes, in the United States, I would not go to a public school.
Okay. Michael, would you go to, if you were given the opportunity to go to another school, whether it be a public school or a day school, a Christian day school, is that something that you would want to, that opportunity that you would want?
No, I don't think I'd want that opportunity. I like it much better in my home, where I'm actually doing the curriculum, where my mother has provided, and she has done an excellent job teaching us, and I wouldn't have found any better in any schools.
So mom's doing a great job is what you guys are saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Rachel, thinking back to, through all the way through your early years as a homeschool student, all the way up through high school, if you were given the opportunity to go to a different school, do you think it's something that you would have you would have taken advantage of if you were given the opportunity?
Well, I'm with Anna. If I had the opportunity to go to a high school or a middle school in another country, I might take that opportunity.
Lydia? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lydia? Okay. But for here, no, I would definitely stay. I would want to stay homeschooled because there's so much flexibility in homeschooling and so many things that you learn that I don't think are as well taught in other schools. There's just not as much one-on-one time. And I think that my education was very complete, and I enjoyed the atmosphere and the flexibility of it, as well as the fact that my mother could focus my studies on me and actually kind of change the way that she taught me to fit my abilities and my skill sets. So, and I don't think that would be the case in a public or private school with many students.
thank you. As homeschool students, both past and present, what are some of the, when you meet someone for the first time who maybe doesn't know right away that you were a homeschool student or are a homeschool student, maybe they're unfamiliar with homeschool. What are some of the questions that you get when you meet someone that's not familiar with homeschool? What are some of the questions that someone might ask you? And then how do you respond to those questions? Lydia's laughing. Like there's a question. It sounds like there's a good story here.
Well, the most often asked question that I get is, do you do your school in pajamas? Which...
Do you do your school in pajamas?
No, I wish, but no.
Mom doesn't allow that at the Grimmenstein Academy, huh?
No.
No studies in your pajamas. Now, Rachel, are you...
I have the same question a lot, actually. even now, did you study in your pajamas? And I said, no, I didn't, but I do now.
So once you get to college, Lydia, you can study in your pajamas.
Yes.
Rachel, other questions that you have encountered, whether in the past or present as a homeschool student?
I think the most popular question is, how did you make friends? Or, did you always stay at home? Or more often it's put as, I don't think I could do homeschooling because I would be living at home all the time and never see anyone. That's usually not really a question as much as a statement. And I say, I had plenty of opportunity to see people in, at Scocker and at church and at Pillar. I did classes at Pillar for a while. I had a lot of friends do that. We did some co-ops. My sisters are doing co-ops now. So I had ample opportunity to see people and sometimes more than I wanted to see people.
Questions that you've encountered. Have you, Lydia or Anna or Michael? Michael?
Well, I have encountered the question, do you make any friends? Mm-hmm. How do you make friends when you're in homeschool? And I always answer that I make friends in my curricular activities, my taekwondo, and my swimming, as well as my music and my piano.
Great. And what kind of response do when you tell that to people and when you speak so, for a sixth grade student, you speak so articulately, how do they accept that when
yes,
you tell people
they
that?
Yes, do, actually.
Great. Rachel, you mentioned co-ops. Your family was involved with the Pillar Co-op here in St. Louis.
Yes.
Grimmenstein family. Have you been involved in any co-ops? Participate in any other classes with other families or
no.
anyone else?
No, we haven't.
Nope. Nobody keeps up with your levels, huh? Nobody can keep up with the Latin. What about, we've talked about sports, arts, co-op, and what about service? Any service opportunities? Any opportunities to serve in the community? Or I know that you all are fairly new to the St. Louis area, as the Grimmenstein family, fairly new to the St. Louis area. Anna, any service opportunities?
When Lydia and I were little, we were Girl Scouts in North Carolina, and we did lots of community projects to get special badges and promotions.
Okay. So through scouting, you had some opportunities to serve in the community.
Yes.
Rachel, any service opportunities? I know that your family is probably pretty involved in the community.
Yes. When I was younger, I did community work with St. Louis County Police Department. My family knows some people in there, and
We did Halloween centers and volunteer work for them. And we also did things through West County Christian Home Educators and through opportunities that my church had. So we did some community, we'd build houses or help inner city kids learn to read, you know, things like that. So just here and there, it wasn't, you know, something that we did traditionally, you know, an every month kind of thing, but mm-hmm. at least 4 or 5 times a year, we would have some sort of community service project that we were doing through church or through St. Louis County Police Department or through some other means.
Yeah. Do you think your involvement in those service opportunities impacted you in a way that I know you were involved in several organizations as a college student as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think that helped you make that connection and seek out those opportunities at college to be involved in those other organizations, extracurricular activities?
Yes, it did. It creates more of a pull. I think the more that you volunteer, the more that you go out and you see people around you and you see the needs and the wants and the desires that other people have and other worldviews and how they live, then it creates more of a desire to learn more, really. The more you see, the more you want to know, and the more you want to help, and the more desire that you have to help people in need. So it rolls. It keeps growing and rolling, and I think that's great about service work and volunteer work, that you learn. You're not just helping the people that you go to help. You're also learning more about yourself, and you're helping yourself become a better person too by doing that. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
By helping, providing an opportunity for you to serve in the community, you can learn something and gain something from that experience as well, I think, is what I hear you saying.
Yes, that's exactly right.
With just about a minute and a half left, final thoughts. If a family is listening today and they're thinking that maybe homeschool might be a good option for them, if they've been listening throughout the week and maybe thinking about homeschool, what are your final thoughts as we wrap up today? And we'll go from youngest to oldest. What are your thoughts about homeschool for someone who might be considering it? Michael?
Well, I think homeschool would be a very good idea because it teaches the classical curriculum that most modern schools don't, such as grammar and logic and Latin and Greek and...
Okay, so you homeschool from it with a classical education approach is what you would recommend.
Yes.
Okay, Anna?
I think it'd provide a relaxing atmosphere for your children to do their work so they can memorize their studies well, and so they can do them well and get good grades on all their tests.
So the environment is a comfortable, you appreciate the comfortable environment that homeschool provides and certainly would recommend that to others.
Yes.
Lydia, would you recommend homeschool? What your final thoughts?
Well, homeschool is a big mountain to climb. And my mom has always said, if you're looking for a classical education for your child, you should always look at classical schools. And if they are not providing the curriculum that you want for your children, then homeschool is a good consideration for you.
So if you're thinking classical education, homeschool is a good way to go about that. If you can't find a classical school in your area. Rachel, your final thoughts as someone who has made it successfully through the homeschool process and now a college student, what are your final thoughts on homeschool?
I very much enjoy the flexibility and the individualized learning style that homeschool can provide for students. It provided me an opportunity to do things outside of school that I would not have been able to if I had been in public school or in private school. And I really enjoyed the fact that my mother could take a curriculum and really drill down on what I needed work with and what I needed help with in my studies. And she could focus my studies on those skill sets.
So having the opportunity to have more individualized education
Education and flexibility in the studies and when the studies happen.
Well, we have been talking with our student panel today with Rachel Wood, college student, and Lydia, Anna, and Michael Grimmenstein, homeschool family here in the St. Louis area. We thank you all for your time. Rachel, thanks for giving up your lunch break to talk with us today.
You're very welcome.
Lydia, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Anna, thanks for being here.
Welcome.
And Michael.
Welcome.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.